Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Have you ever heard the term Good Samaritan used to describe someone who does a good deed? Well, it was originally from a parable Jesus told in Luke chapter 10. A lawyer stood up and put him to test. This sets the tone for so many of Jesus' teachings. This person was a religious teacher of the law. He had his own interpretation of what the law required. As a pastor, I would sometimes get calls from people who were shopping for a church. Often the conversation would begin with questions like, "What Bible do you use?" or "Do you preach the Word?" I always wanted to cut to the chase and ask, "What is your litmus test? Is it tongues, the rapture, eternal security, the King James Bible?" Whatever the deal breaker was, I was pretty sure they would not be comfortable with my style of ministry, even if I gave the correct answer, because I don't build my ministry on one specific doctrine at the exclusion of everything else. So the man went on, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, I have heard Christians use these same tactics looking for loopholes to get out of their moral or spiritual responsibility. Jesus answered with this parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by coincidence, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place where he saw him, passed by on the other side. Now, priests were all Levites, but not all Levites were priests. So today you might say it was a pastor and then a church member. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. Right away, the parable becomes controversial. Samaritans were considered half-breeds and heretics by the Jews. Prejudice between these two groups was like today's racism. Or perhaps, what if a person from some radical political group that you don't approve of came by? And when the Samaritan saw him, he felt compassion and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you." The Samaritan loved this stranger sacrificially, unselfishly, practically, tangibly, and at the risk that he would never even hear a thank you. Then Jesus said, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed compassion to him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." I love how Jesus isn't baited into a theological argument. Instead, he gets to the heart of the matter, this religious person's attempt to justify his own shortcomings. I have known churchgoers who love to argue and love to prove that they are right about their pet doctrines. But they are not in a hurry to go out of their way to demonstrate practical love to anyone outside of their own circle. Some folks can be so right that they are wrong. I also love that Jesus doesn't let him off the hook. He says, go and do likewise. Knowledge equals responsibility. Most Christians can answer the first question correctly, as the lawyer did. Love God and love your neighbor. Those are easy words to say. But to live consistently by those rules takes discipline, sacrifice, and unselfishness. It's one thing to talk the talk, but another thing altogether to walk the walk. Sometimes religious people just need to put up or shut up. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourselves to be sons of your Father who is in heaven." I once made a statement to a lady who worked in a church. Love doesn't have anything to do with emotion. She got quite indignant and responded, "How can you say that?" "Easy," I said. "Jesus said to love your enemy. Nobody feels good about their enemy. If you treat your enemy according to your emotions, you might feel like killing them." Jesus went on to say, "For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Even tax collectors, do they not do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Even the Gentiles, do they not do the same?" We all have certain people that we are more comfortable around. There are people that are very easy for me to love. The test is how we love those who make us uncomfortable. Do we love the unlovely? Then Jesus makes this statement, "Therefore, you shall be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, none of us can be perfect like God as far as never failing and having no sin or having perfect knowledge. But we can love like the Father. We can love with pure motives. We can love others unselfishly. That is how we are to be perfect like our heavenly Father. By the way, when people say, "Only God can have agape love," that's just not true. When Jesus was talking about tax collectors and Gentiles loving, he was using the word agape. Now, the three men in the parable all had some sense of right and wrong. They all had some sense of justice, but only the Samaritan acted on it. James 2 says, "If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Love that is not demonstrated in practical action is useless. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That, of course, is John 3:16. We've all heard it. Many of us can quote it. But do you know 1 John 3:16? It says, "We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters." Then it goes on to say, "Whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him?" Little children, let us not love with tongue or word, but in deed and in truth. In the story, the lawyer asked Jesus to define neighbor. I think what is even more challenging for people is to define love. I can love my wife, I can love my car, I can love tacos. I can love baseball. I can love a song. I can love a science fiction movie and the make-believe characters in that movie. But none of those are necessarily agape love. Somewhere along the way, it became popular to use the term unconditional love. Even in a secular context. But that phrase has become often misused. One time my mom was visiting my sister who raises dogs. And mom said, in the morning I would go out and bring the dogs treats. And they were so happy to see me. All that unconditional love. Well, mom, I said, the condition they were happy with was the dog treats. That is not quite unconditional love. As Inigo Montoya might say, I do not think that word means what you think it means. One way of saying unconditional love is disinterested benevolence or doing good without self-interest. Another is the phrase, love with no strings attached. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is often called the love chapter. It is not so much a definition of love as it is a description of love. It goes like this. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away all my possessions to charity, and if I surrender my body so that I may glory, but do not have love, it does me no good. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Love does not boast. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily provoked. It does not keep an account of wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Let's take this one word at a time. Love is patient. There are two types of patience in the New Testament. One is patience in situations. The other is patience with people or long-suffering. The one here is long-suffering with people. Love is kind. We tend to think of kindness being the characteristic of some sweet old grandma. New Testament kindness is moral goodness. Love does not envy. That means to want what someone else has, be it material possessions, a relationship, or reputation. Love does not boast. It is not vain. It doesn't blow its own horn. Love is not arrogant. Arrogance involves looking down on others, thinking that you're better than them. Love does not act disgracefully. The King James Version says unseemly. It is linked to Ezekiel chapter 16, referring to a woman's nakedness. It really means indecency. Love is not self-seeking. It does not ask what's in it for me. Love is not easily provoked. You ever heard the term poke the bear? To provoke someone is to bait them into a fight. Love resists that type of engagement. Love does not keep an account of wrong suffered. Forgive and let it go. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness in ourselves or others grieves the heart of God, and it should grieve us as well. Love rejoices in the truth. Truth is harder and harder to come by these days. We ought to rejoice whenever truth prevails, whatever the source. Love bears all things. This word literally means to keep water out. In other words, to keep an airtight lid on things, to protect. Love believes all things. It means to have faith in all situations. Love hopes all things. It never loses hope. Love endures all things. It never gives up. Love never fails. If everything else fails, love will succeed. That is a good description of love, but it's not really a definition. Unger's Bible Dictionary says, love is the highest motive or grounds for moral action. It goes on to say, as all sin roots itself in selfishness, so all virtue springs out of love. Vine's Expository Dictionary says, love can only be known from the actions it prompts. Love seeks the welfare of all. But I like C.S. Lewis's definition best of all. Love is unselfishly choosing for another's highest good. In Matthew chapter 22, someone came to Jesus and asked, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. You know, they didn't ask him for the second commandment, but he was compelled to share it. Why? Because you can't have one without the other. How we love others reveals how much we love God. There is a direct correlation between our relationship with God and our relationship with others. 1 John 4:20 says, if someone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. After washing his disciples' feet, Jesus said to them, if I, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example so that you would also do just as I did for you. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And after that prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, Jesus added, if you forgive other people for their offenses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive people, then your heavenly Father will not forgive your offenses. Your love for others proves your love for God. Paul echoed Jesus' teaching in Romans chapter 13. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I think it's funny that Paul says, if there is any other commandment, as if there was any part of the law Paul wasn't familiar with. I've told many people, Jesus said the whole law is summed up in, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now go work on those two things, and when you have them down perfectly, bring me your other list of rules. A parent doesn't love their child if they let them do whatever they want, even when it presents danger to themselves or others. It also doesn't mean that you will not offend people. Jesus was completely loving, but sometimes he offended people. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Sorry, it's not, they will know you are my disciples by your bumper stickers. Love is the trademark of a true believer in Jesus Christ. Be like the Good Samaritan. Love unconditionally. Love unselfishly. Demonstrate love in a practical, tangible way. By so doing, you will fulfill the whole law of God, and you will prove yourself to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.